The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Sayyid Surah Shura in ayat number 23 gives the command to the Prophet that, O Muhammad, say to your people that I do not ask for any compensation or wage in return for the hard work that I have done in bringing the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, except to love my family. That is the essential meaning of the word al-qurba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains further by saying, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً, and whoever acquires goodness. This hasana refers to the mawadda of Ahlul Bayt. نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا. Allah says, whoever acquires this love for Ahlul Bayt, we will increase in its goodness, in the husn of that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah is indeed, you know, what is the implication of that love and mawadda of Ahlul Bayt? Allah says He is forgiving and shakur, He is thankful. He is thanking the Ummah for loving the family of Rasulullah, because the essential message was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet. If somebody was supposed to give any compensation to Rasul, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, I would like you on my behalf to give compensation to the Rasul in form of the love for his family. And this mawadda or muhabba, or the love and devotion that we have towards the Ahlul Bayt, this is expressed in two different ways: by celebrating the events which are related to them, and by commemorating the tragedies which are related to the history of the Ahlul Bayt. In the month of Muharram and Safar, we were busy with commemoration of the events regarding the tragedy of Karbala and what happened after it. And in that sense, this is in a way conclusion of that, you know, series of the majalis and the mourning period that we had. Tonight the majlis is for the shahadat of our 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. Very briefly, you know, Imam was born in Medina in the year 232 of the Hijrah, and his shahadat and wafat happened in Samarra. He was 28 years old. And during that time, the last 6 years was the period of his imamat. So his imamat era was very short, but very crucial, because this comes just at the before the beginning of the occultation and the ghibat of the imam of the present time. And just to look at the situation at that time, the challenges that the 11th imam and even the 10th imam went through. How did they end up in Samarra? It was during the days of the 10th Imam that one of the Khulafa of Banu Abbas by the name of Mutawakkil, he was known to be a person who was filled with hatred towards Ali and Ali Ali. He is considered to be somebody equivalent to Yazid. In Banu Umayya, Mutawakkil would be in among Banu Abbas. And part of his plan was basically to keep a watch on the most prominent figure of the Ahlul Bayt, so the Imams of our times, And this is where he asked his officers actually to force the 10th Imam, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam, to move him from Medina to Samarra. And he was not, you know, brought alone. His family was with him. Initially they were settled in Baghdad, but in Baghdad there was still, you know, the population was very vast. This was the previous capital of Banu Abbas. And the circle of scholars and even the Shias there would still find their own ways to reach to the 10th Imam. And therefore, you know, even their stay in Baghdad was made very short, and they were moved from Baghdad to Samarra, which was the new capital of Banu Abbas. And especially they were placed in an area of the city which was actually a military camp. In Arabic you would call, you know, this is the place of Askar. Askar means army. This title given to the 11th Imam, Al-Askari, is because of that location. And that also shows that, you know, the place where they were allowed even to buy a house was supposed to be in an area where the army or the officers of Mutawakkil and his government would be able to keep a, you know, close watch on the Imam and his movements, or those who are coming to see him. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, there was a lot of restrictions and suffocation as far as communication and meetings of the Imam with the Shias. And this is the same time. So already 11th Imam, even before his imamate, is in Samarra with his father. And this is the same era where you have Mutawakkil, who expresses his hatred towards Ahlul Bayt by preventing the Shias from going for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to the extent that he even tried to erase any trace of the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He was not successful in that, but that was the intent. What you see now in form of, you know, the ideology of the Salafis and Wahhabis, that wherever they go, the very first important thing for them is to destroy all the shrines and the graves of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in Saudi Arabia or when ISIS was in control in parts of Syria and Iraq for a short time. They even went actually for the shrines of the Anbiya, and the shrines which existed in Syria and Iraq area from a long, long time. And this is where we see that, you know, wherever we see this phenomenon of Wahhabism and Salafism, it can be traced back to Banu Umayyah during the days of Muawiyah and Yazid, as well as the sentiments of people like Mutawakkil. The irony is that, you know, and this is where I say it's not really a Sunni issue, it's more a Wahhabi, a Salafi issue of destroying the shrines. Because these shrines of the Awliya and Anbiya have been there for centuries. During the time of Banu Abbas, Banu Umayyah before that, when Muslims conquered, you know, Syria and Iraq, they didn't go around destroying the shrines of the prophets. And even when the Uthmani family came to power for centuries, they ruled the Middle East. And so this is where we see that this is actually a bid'ah. It's not establishing the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is, you know, innovation done by Salafis and Banu Umayyah. Of course, you know, people like Mutawakkil are gone, but the shrine of Hussein is still there.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.